Christopher Harwood is a lecturer in Czech at Columbia University in New York. When I met him at his office on Columbia's Upper West Side campus, we discussed Czech literature, the difficulties of learning Czech, and how Professor Harwood himself had become good enough at the language to teach it at one of the world's leading universities.
I guess I had a leg up on Czech from having begun Russian at an early age and having very good Russian already as a teenager and then continuing on. And so I think I learned Czech a lot more rapidly when I started doing it in graduate school. And then I went over after 2 years of having studied Czech. I went to Czech Republic for the first time, spent a month in Prague teaching English and a month in Olomouc at the summer language school there. And it was actually when I was in Prague that that first summer that I met my future wife, who is Czech. And so certainly that relationship has allowed me to get the at least the spoken Czech to a much higher level.
Czech is unusually difficult, I think it's fair to say. What would your advice be to the general learner, so to speak, somebody who wants to learn the language who isn't coming from an academic background?
Yeah, it's not easy, and that's something that, you know, I have to admit to my students when I'm teaching them that they've bitten off a considerable task here. It certainly helps if they've had prior exposure, if not to another Slavic language, then maybe to Latin or to German, so that the whole concept of inflection is not entirely strange to them. But if not, you know, there's a lot of, you know, strategies they can use, and it depends. I mean, here at Columbia, I'm fortunate that most of my students are really very bright, even if they don't have that prior experience, and they pick up quickly and they're systematic learners. There's a couple of strategies for the more, you know, casual learner. There's certainly strategies you can learn for being able to have a basic level of communication without getting immersed in all of the really sticky grammar, learning sort of the high frequency phrases and things like that, and formulae that you'll need to know to get through your shopping and everyday greetings and so on. But I think, you know, it helps, you know, when learning any language to treat it as a kind of a game and to make it something fun. You'll have to spend a lot of time with it to get good, though.
I presume the fact that the modern world is so interconnected with internet makes it easier for someone like yourself to follow Czech culture and for your students to get exposed to Czech culture and Czech news and so on.
Yeah, of course. I came to teaching Czech in an internet age, and certainly it's an enormous boon to be able to get, well, Czech radio, of course, but also Czech television broadcasts and so on from the internet, and even, you know, television programs, things like that. It's very useful also, of course, being able to access, for my scholarly work, to be able to access a lot of a lot of articles and databases from Prague and so on without ever having to go there. So that's certainly a big plus.
As well as teaching Czech language, you also teach Czech literature. Which writers in particular appeal to you?
I love a great many Czech writers. I guess if I had to name a single personal favorite, it would probably be Bohumil Hrabal, who I just keep finding sort of new riches in. Teaching Czech literature, I tend to use the strategy of trying to use the big names, the ones that people are most likely to recognize, which really on a universal level is only, I think, Kundera and Havel. And so I tend to use those names a lot when I'm advertising courses and so on, and use them to sort of attract people's attention. And those are usually the names that pull people in, and then try and get them interested in other fascinating contemporaries of those two writers, and also in the earlier tradition of Czech literature.
Is there anything you would say that's characteristic of Czech writing?
Well, there's a lot of generalizations that are made, and they probably don't get made without having, you know, a basis in fact about the Czech sense of humor, the ironic sense of humor, a certain preoccupation with questions of the Czech national character, and often treated in a way that's very self-deprecating. I think that's typical, of course, the traditions of Czech beer hall culture, as exemplified in Hašek and in Hrabal as well. Are certain strong strains, but like any major literature, and I think that's the thing about Czech literature, is it's remarkably rich and diverse for the literature of such a small nation. These generalizations only get you so far, and there are great Czech romantics, and there are great Czech decadents, great Czech avant-gardists, and I really enjoy all of them.
Would you say, and this is a kind of theory of mine, and I have to be careful how I express it, but that there are possibly some Czech writers of the latter half of the 20th century who aren't perhaps that brilliant, but have a big name in the world of literature, partly because of their backstory, by which I mean the circumstances in which they lived and how they were mistreated.
Yeah, well, for me, that's one of the big questions that not only I, but I think the Czech scholars themselves need to look at again and to re-examine, is that the canon of Czech literature in the 20th century, in the post-war period in particular, has been determined, I think, I don't know if it's been determined by political factors, but it's extremely difficult to extricate it from its political context. And I think that this is really one of the main challenges that the Czech literary scholars face now, is to re-examine the work of both sort of the dissident writers or the reform-minded writers of the canon, and to try and look more critically at their writing as literary art, and also to look at the writers who have been largely sort of denigrated or damned by these political criteria, writers who, to a greater or lesser extent, collaborated with the communist regime either before or after 68, and who I think have not always had the benefit of an independent eye. So it's definitely a difficult question.
You teach Czech literature from the 19th to 21st centuries. What state would you say Czech literature is in today?
Hard to say. By the way, I have taught even earlier than 19th century Czech literature. I teach one course on Czech culture, looking a lot at literature, but at non-literary arts as well, from the medieval period on. So that's also of interest to me. But as far as the 21st century, it's hard to say. I think it's very diverse. I think there's a lot of very good writing going on. Sort of related to your previous question, though, I think a lot of the attention that Czech literature garnered internationally in the 20th century was, again, not unrelated to its political function and social function. And the sort of the dilemma now is that Czech writers simply aren't being translated into English. None of them, virtually. I think the last new Czech work of fiction to be translated was maybe one of Ivan Klima's books, which I like very well, but no, I think, young Czech writer has been translated, perhaps, since Jakub Topol. And I think there's a lot of good literature, a lot of, you know, very entertaining and meaningful literature that's been produced since then. But I think the Czech writers and sort of the Czech literary industry faces a real challenge in finding some way to bring it to the attention of an international audience and somehow convince them that it's relevant.
Ian Willoughby was in conversation with Christopher Harwood, Professor of Czech at Columbia University.